Hey, I'm Russell Leeds.
And I'm Anna Leeds.
And welcome to the Property Investors Podcast. Now, I have recently been scammed. And I don't know why you're laughing, because we share money. So when I get scammed, you automatically get scammed at the same time. I've been scammed. And I'm going to tell you guys about the scam, how it happened, how you can avoid it. And then we thought the topic for the show would be looking at scams in property. There's some big scams going on and how you can avoid them. So hopefully, you know, not only will you enjoy laughing at my expense, like Anna is doing, but also you'll be able to learn some valuable lessons to stop you guys from getting scammed in the near future or in any part of the future, because you never ever want to get scammed.
I'm only laughing because it was actually a little bit genius, wasn't it?
It was a little bit genius. So I'll tell you the story. I know you already know the story, so just pretend that you don't. You can be a listener for now.
But what about if I have valuable points that you miss out?
No.
To save some of your credibility.
You if you have valuable points, you save them till the end. You hear my story first, all right? So here's what happens. So I'm driving home. I've actually just picked up my daughter. I've just been a great all-round father, you know. Picked up my daughter from judo. I'm driving back and I get a phone call. And it's from Lloyds Bank.
Yep.
And Lloyds say to me, "We think that your account has been hacked." And I'm like, "Oh, no." So I'm nearly home. I'm like, "Hold on one second. I'm back in a moment. Let me have a look." So I get back and I'm like, "Well, what's happened?" They say, "Well, we can see some transactions leaving your account."
That are pending at the moment.
Yeah.
Because so they're on your account. Ladies.
They're on my account. So we can see some transactions going out of your account. And we wanted to check if they were you because it's unusual spending habits. For example, so someone had bought a train ticket, and I don't very rarely take the train. It was from an area where I don't live. And they were like, they said, "Look, this train ticket here, TFL, it's from like somewhere to whatever." I can't remember the exact details, but they were like, "Is this you?" And I said, "No." And they were like, "Right, okay. What we're going to do, we're going to send you a text message right now. From Lloyds, it'll pop up. It will have details of the transaction. If it isn't you, definitely not you, just check it. Let me know and I'll get it cancelled." So I get the text message through, TFL, blah, blah, blah.
From Lloyds.
From Lloyds. I check the number, I scroll back up. Is this really Lloyds? Yes, it's from Lloyds. Yeah. And it said, you know, TFL, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, "No." I said, "That isn't me." They were trying to cancel it. I was like, "Yes, please cancel it before it goes through." They're like, "Right, we've put a code on the text message. Give me the code and I'll cancel it off." So I gave him the code. He's like, "Right, that is cancelled, sir. You will no longer be charged." He said, "Right, we've got another one here." Anyway, he goes through. There's 5-6 transactions.
A lot of parking fines, actually.
Parking fines, all sorts of stuff. And they obviously aren't me. So I'm like, "No." He's sending me other details. I'm saying, "No, it isn't me. Getting it cancelled off." Anyway.
Or so you thought.
Or so I thought. Get off the phone call. And I'm like,
to be fair, I was the one that said, because you said something about...
Sorry, I'm pretty sure we agreed that you were just going to sit and listen to the end and then add your valuable inputs. So I'm like, I just want to make sure it definitely was Lloyds. So I ring up Lloyds again, go through to their fraud department. I'm on hold for ages, of course, get through. And they're like, I said, "Oh, sorry." I said, "Have I been called about being scammed? Like, let me check, sir." No, you have not. I was like, "Well, what about these transactions?" I told them. And they were like, "No, those transactions have gone through." I was like, but I cancelled them off. Right. And they were like, "No, sir, it looks like you authorised them." I was like, what do you mean? They were like, "We sent you OTPs and you put the codes in and said that they were yours." I was like, "Holy crap." So what's actually happened is this scammer had somehow got my account details.
Yeah, because he knew things. Sorry, I'm putting in now. Like, he said where you were based, where your phone was, where you were registered to. Like, things you wouldn't expect a normal person to know about you. What kind of phone you had, for example. Or, like, you haven't got a Samsung, have you? You've got an iPhone and these are pinging off a Samsung. Do you know what I mean? He was saying stuff that kind of really gave you confidence.
Yeah, he did, which, and I'll explain how he got all these details afterwards. So basically what was happening is he was logged onto my, he got my card details. He was making payments the OTP was coming through to my phone, and I was giving him the damn number over the phone. Now, luckily, because I clocked it straight away and rang Lloyds, they managed to get the payments blocked retrospectively, and I didn't lose any money.
Lloyds were actually really good.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness. They were good. So what had actually happened is, this is how he caught me. I had a text message come through, and it just so happened we were waiting for a parcel. I can't remember what the parcel was, but we were waiting for a parcel to come through. And I had a text message, and it said, "We've tried to deliver your item, and you weren't in.
Yeah.
We want to resend it, but you've got to pay 79p or something." And that was where I messed up. So that part, that was not true.
That was the trap.
So when I paid the 79p, they now had my card details. They saw what device I paid from. They knew where I lived. They got all that information where they stole my details. They waited then a couple of weeks. Forget about that. Then started using my card. Rang me up, and I damn well gave them the OTPs. And the Lloyds person, although they were good, they were so sarcastic to me on the phone.
You came in so looking so, and I was like, "What's wrong?" And then this is what they'd said to you. Oh,
they were so sarcastic. So they were like, "Right, hold on a second." So when I figured out what had happened, I realised the whole scam while I was on the phone. It just sort of dawned on me. I was like, "Oh my gosh." And do you know what was even more annoying? I'd been so polite to the scammer.
Oh yeah, you were thanking him and
I was
everything.
Like, "Thank you so much for calling." And he was like, "No problem, sir. It happens to the best of us." He was probably like, you're like laughing all the way. What an idiot. This guy's reading me the O2Ps and thanking me for it at the same time. It was definitely one of my low moments. Be very vulnerable here,
yeah,
sharing
this. I think, to be fair, if you feel that was a low moment, it was even lower on the
Yeah,
phone
so the Lloyds Bank was like, "So, hold on a second. You're telling me that he rang you up while he was making car payments on your phone, and then you read him the code so that he could approve it?" I was like, "Well, technically, yes, but..." And they were like, sorry, does it not say on the message, "Please do not share this code with anyone"? And I'm like, "Yes, it does. But you know what? It was just in the moment getting it through. I was so keen to get these transactions cancelled. There was the urgency there.
You don't put two and two together, do you? It was coming through from Lloyd, who you've received messages from.
And like you say, he knew my address. He knew my device. It felt very realistic. He knew my bank. He knew my card number, and he knew anything I needed to ask him. He knew. Do you know what I mean? So,
but the moment I'm waiting for, you've missed the big bit that they said to
you. Go on, you can deliver it, because you're desperate to say.
I have. So he goes, you came in, and you just went, they then went, "Sir, has something happened recently that's making you make these ridiculous life choices?"
Yeah, Is something that happened that's affecting your judgment?
No, make these life choices.
And I was just like...
And you were just like, "No."
No? They were like, "Nothing's happened. I've never been spoke to so rudely since I was probably about 17. Unbelievable. Yeah, so I take it back. Lloyds weren't great. At least they got my money sorted.
But they did help. But they said to you, if you ever make such ridiculous choices in the future, they won't help.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I felt so sorry for you, because they gave you the app. They did help, but they did treat
you.
They
grilled me.
Yeah, like you were some absolute moron.
Yeah.
Didn't they?
They did.
What's affecting your judgment on these situations that you would give out the OTP? Like, you obviously have had something traumatic happen recently.
I was like, thinking about it afterwards, I was like, these guys... It is genius.
Yeah, that was a genius scam, to be fair.
You know, because like nowadays, even if you've got someone's card, it's not enough.
No.
So they managed to get my card. They were lucky, because like it was Every, and I just happened to be waiting for a delivery from Every. So now, whether that was planned, whether they knew
that. I've had that quite a few times afterwards. Like, "Oh, you deliver it."
I've had it loads. I've never fallen for it.
It's because we happened.
I happened to be getting it from Every. I saw a thing as well. It was like from Microsoft, and it was the M they put an R and an N, and the rest of it was Microsoft.com on the email. So like, you just see it. You just
you read
what you see, don't you?
Yeah.
So if you have been scammed, I've shared it. You guys can share it with us. Put it in the comments. Let us know about your scams. And the reason is because it is a bit embarrassing.
Yeah.
It is a bit embarrassing when you when someone's properly done you over and outsmarted you and outthought you.
You thought that would never happen to you. You thought you'd pick up on the signs. Oh,
yeah, every time when someone tells me a scam,
you're
Literally, I'd notice that. And I have. It's sometimes the timing is just perfect. I was waiting for a delivery from Every. I was a bit flustered when they called me and I was just like, oh no. And I was just trying to get it sorted.
And just to totally set the record straight, it was me after the phone call that said, are you sure? Because they said about cancelling your cards, but then didn't. And I said, that doesn't sound right to me. Like, it seems a bit iffy. And that's when you called them. So I feel like I saved the day.
Well done.
He'd still be giving the OTP codes.
Are you ringing me again? We've just had some more payments. Some more payments have come out, sir. I'm like, oh no. You didn't manage to cancel the other ones, but hopefully these ones will get cancelled. But I actually read about this scam afterwards. And there were, like, stories where, like, old women had done it, but not cancelled it straight away, had been doing that, and it had been going on for a while.
You can imagine, yeah.
And then they'd not check their bank because they maybe don't have to do online banking, gone in, like, oh my gosh, they've lost hundreds of, sometimes thousands and thousands of pounds. And the banks don't have to do anything.
No, they don't. Because
if you've given the OTP
that says, do not give this to anyone, you kind of are, it is a genius scam because, yeah, the banks don't actually have to pay out.
Just make you think though, this guy, right, is a good salesman. He's
why not just do something legit?
Yeah. Why scam? You're obviously intelligent. You're obviously good at putting, like, it's not like, it's almost like commission only sales, almost.
Yeah.
Like, he's got to be able to trick someone in order to get the money. Why not just, it's not that much money, and we got it back in this case.
Yeah. But why not just do something legit?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But anyway.
I'd love to read people's scam stories.
Well, let me give you some.
Well, if somebody sends them, we'll read one out on next week's episode.
So yeah. Well, tell us about how you've been scammed to make me feel a bit better, but also to spread awareness of the type of scam. So now, if you get a phone call, you'd be like, and they're saying, oh, we want to block the transfer, they won't ask you to do an OTP to do it.
No. Yeah.
Which I didn't know. So here's the first one I want to talk about. And this is probably more common than I would like.
Yeah.
And this is dodgy deal sources.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of things that dodgy deal sources do. So deal sourcing, by the way, is a really good, it's a really good use of money. If both ways, it's a win-win situation. Yeah. So deal sourcing is where someone will go and find a property deal. So they'll go and view a load of properties. They'll find the best ones. They'll do all the research, do all the numbers, line up finance potentially, line up builders, whatever it is that you need, all that due diligence. And then you can just buy it off them for a fee.
Yeah.
So if you're busy like we are, I've bought off deal sources many times.
It's totally win-win. The people who haven't got the time but got the money, and the people that haven't got the money but got the time.
Yeah, exactly. Now there's
absolute win-win.
There is a problem with deal sourcing, and we've tried to combat this with our Deal Connect service for our Academy members, but there is a problem, and the problem is this. If you give them the details up front so that they can make a decision on whether they want to buy the deal, you it's almost chicken and the egg situation. Yeah. Like, who's going
to... Who has to step over that line first? Do you have to give the money? Or do they have to give the full details, but then you can just steal the deal?
Yeah, because now I can... Whoever goes first has kind of got power.
Yeah.
If they give you the details, you've now got the power to either not pay them or to just cut them out of the deal or whatever. But if you pay them, they've got the power to give you a really bad deal, not give you your money back.
Yeah, the deal's off the table. Oh, sorry. Oh, I'm not giving you the money back. I'll just find you another deal, but you don't want the deal. Yeah, it's a bit of a tricky one.
It reminds me of that brilliant Only Fools and Horses episode. Have you seen where Dell tries to be the middleman, and you've got that statue, and it's apparently been in the family for generations, and they're arguing over it, and he like pays him like $3,000, but Dell gets the money together trying to make a middle... But because he's trying to be the middleman, they both cut him out of the deal, and they're obviously in it together, and the statue's worthless. It's kind of similar to that in that whoever shows their hand first is in a bit of trouble. So that's the problem with it. Now, what we've actually done on Deal Connect to try and stop this is we kind of act as a fair middleman.
Yeah.
So a deal source will put their deal on our platform.
Yeah.
We then send the money out. So it get the deal gets assessed by a mentor, make sure it's real. We then send the details out and hold the money.
Yeah.
So that way there's no one party that's got the power. Yeah. It's kind of we're holding it as a middleman. If they're not happy, we're giving their money back. And we know the deal's real and everything. So that kind of works,
yeah.
I think, quite well. If you're buying from a deal sourcer direct, you can check if they are a member of the PRS or the TPO.
Yeah.
Although they don't have to be. There's a misconception that they have to be in a PRS, yeah, property register scheme, in order to be compliant. But that's actually an estate agent. Yeah. They don't actually need to be at all. If they are...
I think it maybe is a sign to give it a closer look if they're not. I know they don't have to be.
Well, if they are, it means that at least there's some accountability.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't expect them to be, like, because they just... It's just they don't have to be at all. So I saw a thing on Landlord Zone. They were saying all these deal sources are acting... 90% of deal sources are acting illegally. It isn't illegal.
No, it isn't, no.
You don't have to be a member of the PRS. But if they are, that's going to help. We've also got our own version of PIMS, which is similar. Again, there's some accountability sitting over the top.
They're showing some, like, yeah. They're showing that they are prepared to take some accountability.
Yeah. But I would treat it like any business. Like, would you pay $3,000 to any business that didn't have lots of good reviews? And probably not. They've got to have something there. They've got to have something there for you to trust. Let me give you an example of someone who ripped a load of people off. Has actually been jailed for it.
Yeah.
So, Jason Cunningham.
Oh, and it's mad because with him, I remember...
Seen him on social media.
All over my Instagram at one point.
Yeah. He was operating as Source Investment and Property Finders UK. He was jailed for 4.5 years in 2024. And he was doing rent-to-rent sourcing deals. So he was taking non-refundable sourcing fees. Obviously, that's normal. Yeah. Oh, well, normally, you've got 2 weeks, actually.
Yeah,
but even what I've seen, even people that have got 2 weeks, if the sourcer doesn't give it you, they can say, oh, yeah, I'll give you two weeks to go and do your own DD. And then they just refuse to give the money back anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if he was advertising it as non-refundable or if it just
became
non-refundable. Yeah, it might. I'm not sure.
Because not many people advertise it as non-refundable, do they?
No. So he took fees from 15 investors for great deals on paper, but the deals didn't even exist.
And then he didn't give the money back.
And obviously he didn't give the money back. And now he's in jail.
And he had cunning in his surname.
He was very cunning. Well, not that cunning, because he got caught.
Yeah, true.
Do you know what he'd be better off doing? Just finding good deals?
Yeah. I don't understand that.
If he's got the ability to sell them, why not just actually go and find good deals and sell those instead?
Because I'm guessing they're not the 15 clients he... Like, from what he used to portray on Instagram, and he used to drive nice cars and stuff, surely they aren't... He's only 15 clients. Surely he did actually get people deals? I'm assuming it wasn't. He had 15 attempts and mucked every single one of them up.
Yeah.
Or maybe he did. Maybe there's just loads more people that didn't bother suing him. I don't know. But... You'd assume he knows how to find deals. So why not just find...
Good deals?
Yeah.
I don't know. So I suppose the lesson is, if you're buying from a deal sourcer, make sure that they are trusted, reputable, or have got the backing of someone like us.
Yeah.
So you can buy deals through Deal Connect. And then you know that at least you've only got 2 weeks before the money gets transferred to them. So you've got 2 weeks to go and do your own due diligence, check everything out, and then you can ask for your money back and it's sort of safe.
Yeah.
Failing that, if they're a member of PIMS, PRS, TPO, they don't have to be compliant, but it's an extra level of trust.
Yeah.
So that's probably what I would say for deal sourcers. And if you're a deal sourcer, just find good deals.
Yeah.
It's such a brilliant way of making money. There's no need to scam anyone or not refund anyone. Your reputation is the most important thing.
Oh, yeah. Because I think as a deal seller, the minute your reputation's gone, you're out of the game anyway, because there's so many people at the moment trying to do it and have the ability to do it. So I just think if you start like scamming people like that or not refunding, you're just not going to be able to compete. Just going to be like, why would you go with that guy who someone was sharing a story about not being hard to deal with when there's so many other people you can go to? So I think you want an absolute squeaky clean image. You know, sometimes you might just have to take a hit and think, just for ease, just give a refund. But I think you just need that absolute squeaky clean image.
Agreed. All right, next big one. And I've seen this, unfortunately, more times than you should. You should never see this, but this happens, not, I wouldn't say regular, but relatively regular. So this is where someone will find a great deal, and they'll show you the deal, and they're asking for investors to put in return for, say, 8%, 10%, 12% return on investment.
And this can be brilliant.
Now, quite often, this is a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah.
So what they'll do is they will actually pay the investors back, but they're paying investors back, even a small part, like the monthly fee or whatever, with other investors' money.
Yeah.
So they'll find, let's say, a deal. Sometimes the deals don't even exist. Or sometimes there's like one deal, or you know, some of these people will be like, oh, you'll be investing in one of my deals. So be very, very careful.
I'll be very dubious if they say one of my deals.
Oh, 100%. Well, they won't tell you exactly where the deal is. Yeah. And there was a property trainer that was doing this big style. Yeah, I don't know if this is fully finished in the court, so I won't mention that one, but there's a property trainer that was doing this big style. So your returns that you're getting back, your monthly returns, are actually just money paid by other investors. And what they do is they collect all this money in, and like, then it's obviously going to come to an end at some point. Some point they're going to get found out, and they're just spending the money, buying Lamborghinis, living the life. So here's a case study. So there was a company called Essex and London Properties. They defrauded 800 investors out of 20 million quid. They promised somewhere between, depending on the investor and the deal, between 8 and 12% returns. They bought one house worth 147 grand. And they were just taking money off loads of people for the same deal.
So then basically, do they ever pay the investors back the full amount, or they're just always paying them monthly?
Always paying them monthly, taking in more money. So the investors are happy. Oh, getting my money back. Oh, can I put a bit more in? Again and again and again. Oh, this, telling their friends, hey, this deal's brilliant. I'm getting this monthly fee. It's just a big Ponzi scheme. They're just going to be paying that back. And it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And at some point.
Yeah, because it's got to come to an end eventually. It's going to be found out, isn't it? That there's not properties, there's not deals, there's just.
So if you're investing in other people's, I'd be very dubious about investing in other people's deals. I'd always use a solicitor.
Yeah.
Is the first thing I would say, because they will know. They will help protect you, because their job is to protect you.
Yeah.
So always use a solicitor. I always get. We lend money for people's deals regularly. We've got Samuel Leeds Finance. We lend money for people's deals, but we always put a charge on the property.
Yeah, we don't just go, oh, that's all right, mate. Shake hands. Hope you give us the money back. Like. Because even though the property community is great, we've got, on our academy, we've got a great community of people. But that doesn't always mean you should just go in. Well, it doesn't mean you should never just go into deals. Just shake on it. We're all mates here. Because at the end of the day,
it's where you get burnt.
Is business. It's nice to think that everyone's lovely and everyone's lovely when it comes to money. But what you'll find is, everyone plays nice, shakes hands, we're all pals, when everything's going smoothly. If anything goes wrong, you will find that suddenly people go, oh, I never said that, we never did that, we never shook on that. You do need things written up, take it to your solicitor, because when things go a bit south, you just need it in plain writing. What was the deal? Who gets what if things go wrong? It just needs to be done. You can't just see this as, oh, but we're all just mates trying to make money in property. And it's insane if you go into and decide, now this has its own pros and cons and you'd have to look into this, if you decide to go into business and set up a property business with someone, you don't want it just to be, oh, we're two mates, we decided to do it. You need the proper contracts. Never just go into it just thinking, oh, we're all good mates, everyone's going to be reasonable.
People turn, and I see that when it comes to money, people turn into absolute, trying to think of a B word.
Yeah, that's why I never said it, because I was like, I can't think of an appropriate.
Well, I'll give you an example of where Trevor Cutmore, tried to screw me and Samuel out of about £1 million.
Yeah.
Absolutely did everything he could. And we did. We even had a contract, but we were friends with him. We'd been around his house. We'd been for barbecues. Oh, yeah. I would have considered him. I invited him to my 30th birthday party.
Yeah.
I would have considered Trevor
a friend.
And
yeah, like our kids used to go around his house.
Yeah.
Played with his daughter.
It is there to have some barbies when you go. He was lovely.
Yeah.
I got on with him. I got on with him well. I respected him in property. He found a deal. We joint ventured with him on it. We let him do it in his company. We put the money in.
Yeah.
We did have a contract in place with the company that he'd set up. And what he tried to do, right, which is unbelievable. We had a contract, but we didn't get a solicitor because we trusted him.
Yeah, because you thought,
a solicitor drew the contract up, but his solicitor, right, who we knew as well.
Yeah.
But the solicitor, because I spoke to the solicitor afterwards, and I was like, what the hell? Like, why would you allow? And he was like, yeah, but I was representing Trevor. Like,
yeah.
So this is where I knew Trevor, I knew the solicitor, and I still really like the solicitor. I don't think he did anything wrong.
But still too trusting. And at the end
but
of the day,
way too trusting. The way too trusting.
The solicitor was on Trevor's side, writing the contract, obviously.
Of course. And he was doing it for Trevor. Yeah. Trevor paid him to do it, right? So Trevor drew the contract up in such a way that he could try and close the company down. And he tried to close the company down, transfer the properties into a different company, and he tried to rip us out of £1 million. Now, luckily, we managed to get our solicitors on it. We realised before it was too late. And this is why when Samuel goes on and laughing and saying, well, we bankrupted Trevor Cutmore, everyone's like, oh, poor Trevor. No. Trevor tried to steal £1 million from us.
Yeah.
Trevor tried to absolutely screw us out of everything.
And didn't.
And Trevor was a friend.
Yeah, and didn't care at all, did he?
He was ruthlessly just saying it to us. Yeah. No, down the phone. It wasn't like he knew what he was doing. It wasn't like, oh, he absolutely tried to scam us.
Yeah, it was like, you cocked up on your contract, mate.
No.
I can do this and I will, kind of attitude.
Yeah, and luckily he didn't. And as a result, because he spent all the money ahead of time and he tried to rent out the properties and we got them all back and we got stuck to our contract.
Yeah, because he did things like, he devalued the properties, didn't he?
Because we were supposed to sell them. It was a flip deal. And
he rented them out.
He rented them out in the gap. He just was horrendous. I'm shocked. I've done other deals with Trevor, littler deals, no issues.
Yeah.
This is the thing. When someone suddenly sees, hold on a second, £1 million, it's probably life-changing money for Trevor. If he can steal £1 million off us...
Yeah, he could live happily for ages.
That's it. Like, yeah. And then people will do strange things that you wouldn't expect.
Well, I would say some of the worst things that ever happened in the world. I mean, it all comes down to money, doesn't it? People arguing and greed.
I would never invest in a deal again. Never invest in a deal again without security.
Yeah.
So security in the... whether that's a charge.
I even think this applies to everyone, even family. If I was doing a property deal with family, I wouldn't just think, oh, wow, it's family, nothing's going to go wrong. Even do it with family.
Yeah.
Because I think the last thing you want to do is fall out with family members over property deals.
And if they won't, if they're like, oh, no.
Then they're the type that will fall out with you.
Not doing it with you.
Yeah, not property deals.
I would never lend to anyone without a charge, and I'd never lend to anyone without my solicitor representing me, looking at it, drawing it up. I just wouldn't lend any money ever unless you do those two things. You get collateral, so that if something goes wrong, you get your money back.
Yep.
And you get a solicitor to draw it up.
Yeah.
Never lend. And if you have to lend for less, if you have to now lend for 8%, because they were offering 14, 15, it's worth it.
Yeah.
It's better than losing all your money. And there's, unfortunately, too many of these social media personalities, trainers and everything, that train, but their real business is getting money off the people. And often, I mean, even reputable trainers, I know, who are well known, and you can, read about them on places like Property Tribes and places like that, reputable trainers have not paid people back.
Yeah.
Like hundreds of thousands of pounds. And they're just like, yeah, but that was the contract. The contract was the contract. And he's like, how is... We would not get it. How are they getting away with this?
Yeah, because we wouldn't.
No
if
way.
If we tried to do that.
If Samuel Leeds did that.
Yeah, and just went, oh, sorry.
Sorry, the contract's the contract. But if that's their attitude, when it really comes to it, when 300 yeah. grand is on the line, the yeah. contract's the contract, make sure that you are protected if you're lending money
yeah.
to any deal. So that's number two. Number three, the fake landlord. So let me tell you, I'll tell you a story. So
it's classic.
Classic stories. So this is, again, true story. So NHS worker, a guy called Ben, viewed a flat in Manchester, went to view the flat. He was shown around it by the landlord, Amy, signed a contract, transferred over the deposit and the first month's rent, came to move in, and she wasn't there, she was gone.
Do you know what's crazy about this? It's like, I'm like thinking, oh, silly Ben. I don't feel like, what have I ever done to make sure that didn't happen to me? I mean, do you know what I mean? Like,
well, you've probably viewed it through a letting agent.
Yeah, but I've only ever done that, so...
So if you're viewing it for a reputable letting agent, you should be okay.
Yeah,
because so, they are going to be a member of TPO, yeah, PRS.
That's never ever crossed my mind when I've turned up to view, and I've viewed a lot of properties. Like,
have you ever viewed direct to the landlord though?
Have we ever?
No.
I don't know if we ever have.
We've always gone through a letting agent. If you view direct through the landlord, here is what I would do to stop that from happening. Number one, ask them ID. So you know who they actually are.
Yeah.
So you don't, if they're, because they're going to get stuff from you, you don't need to do it straight away. I'm not going to the viewing unless you give me ID. But when you actually decide you're going, before you pay any money.
Yeah, and sign the contracts.
Get them to show you ID, buy the title deed for the property.
Yeah.
£7, which is nothing. And make sure that it matches the ID of the person that showed you around. If it doesn't, then that's a red flag. Now, if they're saying they're the landlord,
but what about if it's rent to rent, like HMO? Well, if they were showing them around, they would say they were the landlord, wouldn't they? But they wouldn't be on the title deed.
Well, then, if they would now be acting as a property manager, and they'd have to be in the PRS, TPO.
Yeah.
So if they're not, if they're either a letting agent, in which case, then I'd yeah. just check the letting agency, can we make sure they're a real letting agency, make sure they're registered.
I just meant that could be a case, though, couldn't it, where...
But they're either the landlord or they're a letting agent. Yeah. If they're a letting agent, check they're a genuine letting agent, yeah. check they're in the TPO, PRS, check they've got some accountability there, it's a real yeah. company, etc. Fine. If it is, you've got some clawback. If they are a landlord and... Or claiming they represent the landlord, I'd want to be speaking to the landlord and getting some proof from the landlord.
Yeah.
And I've seen this happen, especially with rent-to-rents, because a lot of rent-to-rents people want to go direct.
Yeah.
And so this, obviously, this is a story in the newspaper.
This is where it more happens, when people, because I know, like, HMO, you tend to go spare route, like, you're not going through you're not going into your local village and looking in the estate agent windows. So I'm guessing this is where this more happens.
Yeah. But don't pay any money unless you know you're paying someone reputable.
Yeah.
Don't fall for it. And what they're doing is what this was this woman actually that did it as well. I don't know why, but I always trust women more.
Yeah.
I mean, more shocked.
When you said Amy, I thought, clever. Yeah. I feel like you just...
She just rented it on Airbnb and then showed a load of people around, took a load of deposits, including from this Ben.
Oh, I just, these scams are crazy. Like, can you imagine living that life and having the absolute balls to do that? Because, as well, how does she know when she's not showing the next person around? One of the people she scammed already aren't going to show up and go, oh, that's the scam, that's her. Like, I'd just be living on edge like yeah. the whole time. They have absolute, like, balls of steel, don't they? Like, doing this kind of thing. And again, I'm assuming she's a great saleswoman. So why not just do something legit? She's obviously got a skill selling all these people these rooms and just scamming them. That's crazy.
It is crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Right, here's another one that we see regularly. Final one, number four.
Oh, let me guess.
Go on.
Builders.
Yes.
Oh, how did I know? The biggest scam of all in property, I'd say, builders.
Builders. Dodgy Dave.
Dodgy Dave.
Dodgy Dave. So actually, the example I've got here, cowboy builder, Frank Coyce Baron, I think his name is. We'll go Frank. Frank's easier. Frank. So he targeted homeowners in the UK. He took deposits for renovation work that he never intended to do. Scammed people out of thousands. He was eventually caught, but only after causing years of misery. So lesson here, if you're getting a builder in, never pay the builder up front.
No. I think that's the biggest tip and advice to anyone.
There was actually a guy guy I used to know who's quite well known in the property space. And he had a builder. He was actually called Dave, of course. Because, you know, 50% of builders are called Dave.
I mean, if you just go in with Dave, the chances are, yeah.
Yeah. Well, how are we going to make sure that our child has a decent job? Let's call him Dave, and then at least we know he's going to be a builder. Bare minimum. So he had a builder called Dave. And Dave had done work. This is the thing. Just because someone does work for you once or twice doesn't suddenly mean... And this is where people often make a mistake.
Yeah.
They're cautious the first time that they use you. But just because Dave's done it once and not scammed you, I did a deal with Trevor once and it went well, doesn't mean that next time he won't. You've got to use the same caution every time you use someone.
Because these scams, they probably are. Build themselves up. Oh, I'll go in, I'll just do a little job. Or I'll tell them they need a conversion on the back of the house. I remember there was big scams going around years ago, and I mean years ago, like when I was growing up in the 90s, with conservatories. Do you know all those conservatories everyone had? And there was huge scams going. And the builders won't have come in and just gone, oh, I'm going to scam you out of a conservatory. They'll have come around first, done odd jobs, done a bit of building work, maybe a bit of plastering. Oh, I can do. Yeah.
Well, you've got two types of scammers, haven't you? You've got outright scammers. The Lloyds guy that rang me, he's just an outright scammer.
Yeah.
Amy, the lad that rented the Airbnb, outright scammer. And then you've got people like Trevor, who is a genuine property investor, but who notice an opportunity and go, A bit like, the people that claim they had whiplash. They're not outright scammers. They were just in the right place at the right time and thought, I could get some extra money here.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You've got those people that are prepared to sort of do that. And I would say builders normally fall into that latter category.
Yeah.
If you might have this, I might use the same builder as you, and for me he's fine. And for you, he scams you.
We hear that a lot. Oh, but I recommended him because he was great.
Yeah.
Oh, so he scammed me. Like, yeah, I think they're very opportunistic.
So this Dave, he was fine for years. He obviously got into some financial difficulty.
Yeah.
But because he'd been recommended by this guy to all his students and everything he'd recommended him to, he then suddenly just took all the money up front and then just peed off.
Because the thing is...
And he'd done it before. That when the guy looked him up, he was like, 10 years ago he did the same thing.
And then just ran away. And I think individual builders, maybe they don't have a big levy of money, but if you're using a company, there is no way they will ask for all the money up front.
No,
that is just
that's a big red flag. You should be paying in stages.
Yeah.
So basically, you're paying as you go, and you're there, and you're seeing that it's done, and you're
also,
paying as you go.
Anything? Why would you hand over all the money when you're not getting all the, you know, you're not receiving everything? Because that's crazy. Like, you just wouldn't do that. Even when you go and get a car, you don't hand over all the money. When we got our new G-Wagon recently, but 18 months ago when we put in for it, we didn't give them however much it's worth.
No, I put in a small deposit. Yeah.
That's just stupid to go for. We've gone, oh yeah, here you go, let's hope we get the car in 18 months then. Like,
yeah. If you're suspicious as well, because one thing that we'll ask you for is materials.
Yeah.
So if you're suspicious, you could pay for the materials direct.
Yeah, and say, well, tell me what you need.
Yeah.
And I'll pay for the materials. Because normally that's what they claim the money's for, isn't it? Oh, well, you need to pay some up front because of the materials, which is correct. They will want the money for the materials. But obviously, they will take advantage of anyone that they feel hasn't got a clue how much materials are. Oh, but I hardly make any money for me. It's all materials.
Ask for a clear breakdown and tell them you want to put it in a payment plan and let them put something together. But that is something to be aware of. Builders.
Builders is a tricky one, though, because I think it's always been a tricky situation with builders. Because I remember, like, even growing up, but way before being in property, it used to be like, beware of builders, beware of builders. And I remember when your uncle set up a company, Avoiding Cowboys.
Yeah.
And it was all about cowboy builders and
recommended suppliers.
And
before I was sort of before Checker Trade, all those sort of things came out.
He created like almost like the first version of it. And it is worth, like you say, looking at sites, are these recommended people? Because I think it is a tricky one to make sure you get good builders, because I think that's the biggest scam of all, really. When people are doing big development projects, it's quite common that they get ripped off by their builders.
Yeah, 100%. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. Thank you for sharing your scams.
I'm excited.
Not when I say your scams, I don't mean the scams that you've committed.
Yeah,
we get some great frauds on here. This is how I scam people. But anytime you've been scammed, comment below. Any of us that we've missed as well, because I'm sure there will be other property scams that we've missed, so you can top the list up. And I'm Russell Leeds.
I'm Anna Leeds.
We'll see you next week.